This morning, we turn our attention to 1 John chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 4 through 9. And I have mentioned all along as we've been reading through 1 John that this short letter packs a punch. And the reason it packs such a punch, and Mark Dobson was commenting that a few weeks ago or at some point that this would be a hard letter for a new believer to read without background. On the one hand, it seems so simple. And it is, I've told you before, even just the grammar that John uses in the Greek is very simple. You can hear it in the English, very repetitive, clear metaphors, categories, simple grammar, simple language, simple sentences. And it can be deceiving because the letter can come across as simple and yet so challenging. And it's challenging primarily because of its clarity. It's challenging because there's no gray in 1 John. There's black and white. There's very strong distinction. There's light and there's darkness. There's truth and there's lies. And we've made this point throughout. And you get that as you come to our text today, picking up in chapter 3. And again, it's very important for us to remember the context of what we're reading, even the immediate context, because if we go back to last week, you'll remember that John was marveling with us and encouraging us as the little children to marvel with him over the love of God toward us. I hope that you were able this week to meditate on and to contemplate the manner of God's love toward you. Behold, what manner of love is this? That we, of all people, are called the children of God. So I think that's important because John now, if we just look at verses 4 through 9, cut out, you know, an exclusion of the context, it's so strong and intimidating, threatening, in fact. You know, if you sin, you're of the devil. I mean, that's enough to make us all wilt because we just confessed our sins in here, right? So we're all in big trouble when we hear it just at that face value. It's the children of God, do not sin. So we hear this very strong language, and we must remember that we hear it if we were hearing this letter read together, coming out of a text that just reminded us to just be in awe, to behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. So I want us to keep that in the context. And the fact that we're not now what we will one day be, right? That was the context of last week. It's true now that we're children of God, but yet it's not clear what we will be. I mean, we're like little babies that kind of look like mom or dad, but you don't see it fully until they grow and mature. And that John has drawn our attention to what we're going to be. So he acknowledges in the context of this passage that we are not yet conformed to the image of Christ. We are still marred by sin and imperfection, right? So that's very important for us to understand as we come to this text. But here again, we come to the clarity, the this or that of John's writing that we get in his gospels, we get in his letters, and of course we also get in Revelation. Very clear, stark, bold lines for us. And again, I want to say to you, embrace this. This is so not 2020. 2020 and the era around 2020 is one of nuance, one of lack. You speak with bold truths. You say it's either this or that, true or false, and your society calls you arrogant. Our culture hates us for that if we make such declarations. This is a culture that does not want to hear absolutes. We deny absolutes. We hate absolutes. And so John is countercultural for us, and I encourage you to hear it and feel the discomfort of it. John has been, throughout this letter, revealing ways, little tests, by which his little children can examine their own lives, and he expects that they will be comforted in these. They will see themselves as holding to the truth. They will see themselves as the people of God, in distinction from these false teachers that are coming in and wooing them away from the simple truth that has been handed down to them. John's been giving these tests. And also we get here a test, if you will, a distinction with regards to our sin or our pursuits of righteousness. Well, you heard the text read by Marcus. He read the whole chapter. I want us to think about three things as we come to these five verses. And that is, first, John's description of sin, his explanation of sin. And then, secondly, what he says about Jesus with regards to sin. And then, finally, what he says about us in regards to sin. So, let's look at it right at the beginning of verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. John, now we heard Paul actually pick up that same phrase of lawlessness in Romans chapter 6, that here John is describing sin. He is not describing sins in this text. He's not describing a list of particular sins, but he's describing the disease itself, not the symptoms of the disease. Here, John is describing what is sin at its heart. And if we use Paul's language, we might say, what does it mean to be a slave to sin? What is that condition that looks, that, what does slavery to sin look like? And here, I think John helps us. Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, because that's what sin is at its core, is lawlessness. Sin is, as a condition, disregard for the law of God. Our own catechism, the Shorter Catechism, defines sin. It's a nice little thing to memorize. What is sin? Sin is, says the catechism, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God, meaning sin is either not conforming to the law of God or transgressing the law of God. Not conforming means I don't do what it tells me to do. Okay, it tells me do this, and I don't do it. That is, you can sin by not doing something. I don't do what I'm told to do. Right? If my mom tells me, take out the garbage as a kid, and I don't do it, I've sinned. Just by not doing something. Forget doing. We think of sin as doing, actively doing bad stuff. But the catechism reminds us, no, sin can be not doing. I don't do what I'm commanded to do. So it's any want of conformity, lack of conformity unto the law of God, or transgression of the law of God. That is, the Bible says, you know, don't do that, and we do it. You know, do not steal, and we steal. We cross over, we violate the law of God.